soldiers on a silver screen, framed in fantasies and drugged in dreams, unpaid actors of the mystery. The mad director knows that freedom will not make you free. And what's this got to do with me? Never made, and they're afraid that I'm afraid. I'm afraid the war is over. It's over. It's over. Angry artist painting angry signs. Just to blind the blind, poison players of a grisly game. One is guilty and the other gets to point the blame. Pardon me if I refrain. Just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die. I declare the war is over. It's over. It's over. One-legged veterans will greet the dawn. Whistling marches as they mow the lawn, and the gargoyles only sit and grieve. The gypsy fortune teller told me that we've been deceived. You only are what you.
That's Phil Oakes, The War is Over, and you're in the last half hour of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, a twice-weekly show every Monday and Friday here on 96.3 FM. If you're listening to this tape, or actually if this tape is playing, this is a recorded tape. It means I'm still in court and unable to take live calls, which is a real pity since we have some great interviews I had lined up, but court takes precedence as ever. We have, hopefully coming up in future interviews, Bob Lebon, who's interested in establishing a downtown car-free area in Santa Cruz. Celine Pascal, a researcher who has done eloquent writing and extensive work on rights of the poor in Santa Cruz, the situation of homeless people here and in other cities. Becky Johnson, we'd hope to have an update on her on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, of which she's a board member. That Citizens Committee met yesterday at 4 o'clock. They have a board member once a month. I, of course, would have been arrested had I gone to that meeting. They've threatened me with trespass, essentially for exposing their activities and ousting 200 to 300 homeless people from their campground in favor of a paid $1 million project, which they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars for in CDBG funding, or let's say tens of thousands. I think it's more than 100,000, but the exact figures I'm not clear on. It is a $1 million project, more or less, and it will cost $617 per person, and will handle only 20 to 40 people, and will be a drug-free situation where you have to get drug tested, and you can't have a private phone, and you can't have guests in your room. It sounds kind of grim. Even more grim is the situation of people under the sleeping ban, who, because of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's actions in closing their campground and the City Council's and Board of Supervisors' refusal to establish a community campground for low-income people in the city and county of Santa Cruz, places literally thousands of homeless people in a position of illegality. In the city, of course, it's illegal to be homeless after 11 o'clock at night if you fall asleep. In the county, though it's not technically illegal, in fact it is legal to sleep at night, under Sheriff Mark Tracy, deputies are regularly misinforming people if they're caught sleeping in the county that they can't do that, even if they're in their vehicles, even though there is a roadside resting law. So things aren't good. Things are in crisis here, and that's what the City Hall Sleepout is doing down there at City Hall at 425-9679, in case you want to get in touch with them, 425-9679. They're sleeping out and to draw public attention, draw public protest to the issue here in the city so that we can actually make the changes we need to make and get past the logjam of prejudice, complacency, inertia. I don't know what it is that's motivating the majority of the city council to refuse such simple modifications of the sleeping ban as to allow people to sleep at night, to remove sleeping from the definition of camping so that you can cover up with a blanket and sleep, even though you can't set up a tent. I mean, there are those who argue you should be able to set up a tent. If there's no low-income housing for people, people need a place to put a tent, then they should have options to do that. I'm not even arguing for that right now. I'm just arguing for the right to sleep, which is the most basic of rights. We'd hope to have a very eloquent poem written and read by Bert Glick, local poet, who I've known for over 20 years. Bert showed up at the Board of Supervisors meeting on the 23rd to oppose the more money for drug war activities that the sheriff is now going hog wild over. Unfortunately, the tape I made of him got garbled. This machine does that occasionally. And I had hoped to call him during the program to get a repeat of that really excellent poem. Not only is it well written and eloquent, but it's also brilliantly read, and Bert read it from memory when he was in the corridors of the Board of Supervisors. I'm hoping to do that in a future show, because if we've reached this point in the tape, it probably means that I'm still delayed in court and I won't be available, so we can't do a call-in. But stay tuned for my Monday show. That'll be Monday, April 29th, when hopefully I'll be back and we can get some of these interviews in that I think are very important, and some of these poetry readings. Here's an update this morning from the City Hall Sleepout.
April 26th, about 5 o'clock in the morning. This is Huff Central receiving a special report from Dragon Star Dan Hopkins from the City Hall Sleepout on night 56, I guess this is. Yeah, 56.
Wait a minute, let me check that out. Actually, it's 57.
Night 57, wow, that's true.
57 days, right? Huh. How will I know?
Actually, it's the 57th day, but I think it's the 56th night. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, six police officers just came around from the police department. They came around the one side of the City Hall, and then others came from the other side of City Hall. And
led by the famous Sergeant Kick-Ass Clark.
Right. And so they came around, and Jimmy was the only one that was sleeping, and he got a ticket. He's actually sitting up and had a blanket wrapped around him.
Was his blanket taken?
Awake. Yes, it was. His blanket was taken.
And who initiated that blanket seizure?
Sergeant Clark. Yeah.
And was a receipt given for the blanket?
As far as I know, no.
Was a receipt requested?
I don't think Jimmy asked for a receipt this time. He might have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And but then Richard did mention to him that, you know, you don't have to take that blanket, according to the city attorney. You don't have to take it. And he said, well, it's evidence, and we need to take it, you know, for evidence. And then Richard kept telling him, no, it's not evidence, according to that paper that the city attorney wrote, and that you have a choice, you know. And he said, no, we're going to take it. And so they took it.
Sergeant Crane.
Huh?
This was Sergeant, not Crane, Sergeant Clark, who kept speaking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they seized two bicycles because they didn't have licenses on them. They were donations, you know, to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they seized the two bikes. And they said if somebody wants to claim them and get licenses for them, they can. And so they took those. And let's see, what else did they do? Basically that was it. The attitude, of course, was normal, you know, laughing and joking around, you know, it's a big deal, you know, it's a happy event, you know, to give us all these tickets and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And according to them, we have only now reached 100 tickets.
Nice. So 100 controversy continues, eh?
Yeah, right. I do think we have actually more than that, way more than that.
Oh, I think you have about 110. That's my reading of it, but I'm just sort of...
So that's 110 camping tickets, which is $168 a piece. So we're talking about $17,000 some dollars in fines. And I figured it out today, by the way. The minimum cost for prosecuting all of these things is $453,000. And that's what, if they take the jury trials and the fines and the jail time.
So the only ones that will go to jury trials, of course, will be the
misdemeanor,
misdemeanor tickets,
right,
which are about, what, 10 now or something?
Oh, no, there's way more than 10.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How many misdemeanor tickets do you estimate?
I think there's about 30 misdemeanor tickets, you know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's about 30.
No, I thought there was much less. Okay. I thought there was like 15 or so maybe at most. But
like, I think, Mooncat was arrested twice just by himself, and I think Nikki may have been arrested twice, but I'm not too sure about that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So it's 2-4. Poor Sean was arrested. That's eight.
Sean was. How many did Sean have? I don't know.
No, I think he had 4 or 5. But again, that's. But and you may have one, and Flory may have 2. But that doesn't amount to more than 15. I don't think. But
yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah, you could be right. You're there on the scene. I don't know.
I could be wrong.
So, how many people are you there in front of City Hall now?
Right at this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'd say approximately 8 or 9 right now. Yeah, up in the front. Mm-hmm.
And 8 or 9, that's actually kind of a large gathering for 5 in the morning, isn't it?
Right. Most of the people, stayed up. And we actually had some people that stayed up until about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was more people out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was about maybe 13 people out there, something like that.
Now, you have some kind of an event happening tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Saturday, 12:30 at the clock tower, 12:30 p.m.
Downtown Count Clock, yeah.
Right. And
This is 12:30 right after noon, huh?
Yes, right.
What's going to happen?
And we're having a march from there, you know, protesting the homeless situation in Santa Cruz and the sleeping ban. And basically, we're representing many groups of people. Even though the sleeping ban is the main subject, we're also representing anyone who's any group, community organization in town that has suffered discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage all of those people who have experienced those types of things, like racial or sexual or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Prejudice, that they come and join with us at the clock tower at 12:30 p.m. tomorrow, which is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have a lot of speakers there. And some musicians have told me that they're going to come down and play some music there. And
So some sort of a march is planned?
Yeah, right. We have a march going down through town. We're not exactly sure of the route. We're going to let the group decide what route they want to take, and we decided not to manage that too much. And so that's about what where we're at right now.
Well, the mainstream media hasn't been giving you much attention lately after the sort of the big brouhaha around the state parks episodes with the Sherry Connable, Barbara River Woman voucher plan.
Right.
There's kind of been a big silence around the issue of people sleeping in Santa Cruz and getting ticketed and arrested for it.
Right.
Although I think in this week's City on a Hill, there's a long letter on the issue from me, I might add, on sleeping shouldn't be a crime. And I think you wrote them a letter too, which you're trying to expand into a larger article, right?
Yeah, well, one of the things I did want to mention to the listeners is that they should make every effort to get that newspaper article. It was City Hill.
City on a Hill.
City on the Hill Press.
You can get that at the library in case you...
I encourage all the listeners to go find that magazine if it's at the library. I think it's... Is it anywhere else in town?
Oh, yeah. City on a Hill can be found at Logo's Bookstore. It can be found at, I imagine, a bookshop Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
It also can be found, of course, up at the university.
Well, I encourage all the listeners to go get that newspaper because the article is very good and it tells the truth for finally. We are finally getting somebody to publish the truth.
Which is, of course, it's not really an article. It's a letter in the letters section,
right.
But it's written by that fine erudite writer, Robert Norris.
Right. But it's got the truth in it, and they need to make every effort to get that so they can really see what the real truth is about what's happening here with the sleeping ban, the homeless situation in town, you know. And
now, Dan, you were originally part of the River Street Refugees.
Right.
In fact, I ran into Sammy of the River Street Refugees today downtown. He told me that the refugees had largely disbanded. And I also, of course, we saw... Sherry Connable, or Schmoozin' Sherry, as I sometimes call her, sometime homeless activist who was involved in this plan to open up the state parks and get the city council to fund the program to send homeless people to the state parks, since the city seems too cheap or too scared to establish a campground on its own, now that the old campground has been destroyed by the weirdly named Citizens Committee for the Homeless in favor of a trailer project for 40 people who pay $600 each. But has there been some kind of a split in the homeless movement? I mean, rumor has it that Sherry and Barbara kind of kept their distance from the vigil, going into its 57th day vigil you're doing. But that, you know, Sherry showed up a couple times to sleep there, I guess, in her van, and Barbara donated a jar of peanut butter or two, but recently things have not been as rosy as they could be?
Well, I think they decided that, well, they did tell me that they wouldn't back me up on this demonstration right from the very start, you know, and we used to be all one group at one time, yourself, me, and Barbara Rubin and Sherry, but they split away from us for various different reasons, but...
What were those reasons, Dan?
Well, I think one of them is just that, they were going along the lines of Gandhi and stuff like that, and...
Well, you're pretty nonviolent. I don't see you throwing any rocks or bombs.
Right.
I mean, you're the one who's going to jail, and they're not. And Gandhi was the one who went to jail. I don't understand the how. Are you saying that they went along the lines of Gandhi, but you didn't?
Not really. It's just that they decided that they wanted to split from us because if we ever told, you know, in other words, if we were direct and said the truth about certain problems directly, you know, without putting a little, you know, little sugar on it and everything, that offended them very much, you know, that they thought that we should be tactful, we shouldn't insult any of the council persons and stuff like that, and, you know, by telling them, you know, something they did wrong or whatever.
So are you suggesting, Dan, that you're not a tactful person? Is that what you think that is?
Actually, I'm a pretty tactful person. I've been considered a tactful person all my life and a diplomatic, you know, type person, mediator type and all that, but... at one point, this experience, I guess I've been naive all my life, but during this experience with the city council and how they've treated people, you know, really badly, by not doing anything in most cases, I realized that if you use too much diplomacy, then it actually turns out to be a lie. You're actually lying if you use too much diplomacy and too much tact. You're actually beating around the bush. You're lying to please the other person, you know. And it's taken me all my life to realize it through this experience.
Well, you had a forum, I believe, on Wednesday night involving people who spoke. I know I was a part of that forum at Loudoun Nelson Center, and I believe what Sherry Connable showed up, but then she left. What happened there?
Well, I actually came down, and she was talking to me and stuff, and she basically told me that she felt that no one was really backing us up, you know, and the public wasn't really interested in this, you know. And actually, I've gotten a completely different picture. See, we haven't really tried that hard at the protest because we've been so shorthanded there to actually go out and really get out in the community, you know. But the ones that we have talked to, and I'm talking about Mr. Joe Average Citizen. We're not talking about homeless people or anything like that. And when I tell them the stories of what the homeless are going through in Santa Cruz, you know, like an example, this 23-year-old girl was talking to me, and I told her about, you know, them taking our blankets and giving us a $168 fine and all this stuff at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, taking our blankets, leaving us out in the elements, you know. And she actually started crying right in front of me.
Wow.
And she couldn't believe it.
I saw an older woman gave you $5 today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is another thing. Here's a woman that doesn't even live in Santa Cruz. She came from San Diego. And she walked up and she just stared at us for a while, and she kind of figured out what was going on here. And she just walked straight up to me, you know, and says, "Here's $5, you know. And she says, first she says, "Are you collecting money?" And actually, I didn't take the money from her at first. You know, I wanted to tell her about what was going on. I wanted to give her a flyer and this and that. I was more concerned with that and making her aware than taking her money, you know. And but she still held the $5 in her hand, like wanting to hand it to me, you know, but I kept talking, you know. And then finally she did give it to me. She said, "Here, take this, you know." And I told her I would make sure that it went in the right direction, you know, for the needs of the people here at the vigil and stuff.
Now, speaking of lies, as I understand it, the police chief and the city manager are claiming that you have only two of your blankets are currently being held
right
by police in a lockup. When, and you've mentioned that there's a considerably greater number than that.
60 blankets, yeah. And because a lot of times you took two blankets at a time from each person, you know, because they had two blankets on them. But that's an interesting point, because tonight that was mentioned again to the police here, you know, during the ticket giving to Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned that to the police. Hey, how is it that they're only reporting two blankets in storage, you know? And I don't know which police officer said, but because they were all gathered around in a circle more or less, and I couldn't tell who was saying it, you know? But one of them mentioned, he says, I guess they don't know how to count, or something like that, you know? And that's all it was said.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a hope that they didn't throw them all away, you know? But we don't really know at this point.
Well, it sounds like a blanket cover-up to me.
Right.
I've suggested, and I think it would be very appropriate for you tomorrow morning to go to the city manager's office with your wrapped in your blankets and just sit down and wait for an accounting of what's going on, since they've got to get their figures and facts straight. I mean, after all, the city council members have asked that this issue be addressed by the city attorney, and the city attorney, I guess the assistant city attorney, has come back and said they do not have to steal your blankets to as evidence, although they can if they want. Not a very courageous position for this mousy assistant city attorney.
So they're just
but again,
they're going out of the way to harass us, you know.
Yeah, well, the question is, how can the community respond to help you? Any ideas?
One of the things I would love to see is for tomorrow at 12:30, Saturday, 12:30 at the clock tower over there on, let's see, what street is that? Front?
This is Saturday, April 27th. You're looking for a...
What street is that clock tower on?
Oh, I think it's Water and Pacific.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Water and Pacific and Front all meet there. And that's at the clock tower. Anyway, I'd like to see everyone that can possibly join us in the march. We need to show these people that people do care about human beings. You know, they care about the abuses being done to the homeless. I know that most average citizens in Santa Cruz would not be a part of taking blankets and sleeping bags away from somebody in near freezing temperature, you know, like 35 degrees at night, you know,
mm-hmm.
with nothing to protect them. themselves from the elements. They wouldn't be able to go to sleep that night, and the chances are they can't even get another blanket or sleeping bag for maybe at least 2 or 3 days, you know, at some donations.
Well, what about Scott Kennedy's backyard? Hasn't it been suggested that Scott can invite you all over, or maybe one of you over?
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard, but now, I don't know. I didn't get the first-hand information, but I was told that his family decided that it wouldn't be a wise idea.
Yeah, I heard from No Guns, a woman named No Guns, who often lived in a tent with her son and speaks quite eloquently about the issue to city council, that she attempted to get permission to set up a tent in Scott Kennedy's backyard, and Scott Kennedy told her no, and No Guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't talked further to Kennedy about this, but it may be the Kennedy solution of everybody take somebody in the backyard, at least not working in his backyard. So what's needed, of course, in my mind, is a change in the law and or a city-funded campground and or both. What about this city council meeting coming up on Monday? You've heard about that there's a city council meeting in the Beach Flats, a special council meeting at which supposedly council member Jane Yokoyama is going to be bringing up the issue of the blankets. Are you going to be going to that council meeting?
Oh, I hope so. I wasn't really sure about that. What time is it?
Now, that's a good question. In order to find that out, you have to go to the city clerk's office tomorrow, I believe, to find out.
Is it in that trailer that we went to before?
It could be.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I haven't gotten a location yet.
Right.
But I suggest you look into it. And again,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but another thing, too, is that as far as the... if the people, the listeners, could come also to the City Hall at 809 Center,
mm-hmm.
across from the library.
Mm-hmm.
We have needs of people just to come and be with us so that we can maybe walk away and go someplace and get a couple hours of sleep or whatever. And we also need donations of food. And one of the best items to get us, because it lasts the longest, is creamy peanut butter, you know. And
so bring your creamy peanut butter, your extra loaves of bread, and yourselves.
White bread. And wheat.
White bread? No, come on now. Wheat bread.
Sliced bread. And, but any bread will do. But
mm-hmm.
we do need sliced bread so we can put the peanut butter on it. Anyway, and then if people can donate us money, because we have personal needs, you know, as we're here 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week, we have personal needs that we need to spend a couple dollars here and there for, you know. And so if they can come out to the City Hall, we sure appreciate it.
How about warm clothing and blankets?
Yeah, warm clothing and blankets is another thing. Sleeping bags, anything that can be donated to help us get through this, because every night, you know, maybe 3 or 4 people will get a ticket, and all of those items are gone because they take it into custody for evidence, and then they keep them for 30 to 45 days. And now, at this point, with what your report was about, they only have 2 blankets in storage instead of 60, means that we may not even get our property back, you know, and at all. So
be prepared to lose those blankets.
Right.
Well, as I said, I think you should go to the city manager's office and plunk your butts right down there, preferably wrapped in blankets, with a Sentinel reporter and a City on a Hill Press reporter in tow, and maybe a person with a video camera, and just go for it. Otherwise, you're going to be stripped naked every night. That's my fear.
Right.
But, you know, so, I mean, after all, I'm just being...
That we need to illuminate also at the protest.
Yeah.
Yeah, this blanket thing, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to have to leave right now. I got a couple things I got to do, so...
Well, thank you for the report, Dan.
Okay.
And for those who want to reach you, I guess I can give you a call at what number?
Okay, it's 425-9679. And you have to let the phone ring quite a lot because we're a distance from the phone.
And they've turned down the ringer, I understand.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.